Good morning, everyone. I've been enjoying a little break this week. James and I weren't here last weekend, but it was exciting to actually be able to participate on the online aspect of our service. So isn't it awesome? So welcome our online friends. I've been thinking about the last week of how it is a bit of a chocolate week. Who's a bit like that and enjoys that? It's almost like we give ourselves permission to have that extra amount of chocolate. We've noticed a bit of a difference in our place because our daughter Lydia got married late last year, so she now lives up the coast with her hubby Ollie. They're both chocoholics, I think. They just love their chocolate. So we have not had to hide it. We've actually had the chocolate that is in the house kind of stayed there. I imagine, Brad, you're a bit safer at your place as well. We have a bit of bagging out of James in our family about his jokes. So I thought I would just see, I'll see if Brad agrees that these are better than James's jokes. What chocolate bar never laughs at jokes? Snickers. He only ever snickers. Did you know they just discovered an Egyptian tomb filled with hazelnuts and chocolate? They believe it's the tomb of Pharaoh Rocher. I think I got more laughs than you, James. I just want to start with some scripture. I want us to just look at Luke 7, 11 to 15. It'll be on the screen. Soon afterward. Now, the afterwards actually referring to Jesus had performed an amazing miracle healing the sick servant of a Roman officer. And Jesus spoke about how he was amazed by his faith. And then I think it's really interesting, this next story, because Jesus was so immensely moved with compassion. And I just love how it shows Jesus' heart. So let's keep reading. Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out, and as he approached the village gate, the young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. And the bearer stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. I just find that story is a beautiful story. It shows how extensive Jesus' compassion is, because it wouldn't have just been the grief of that mum losing her son, but it was also her only son. She was a widow, so she'd be reliant on him supporting her. Jesus' compassion and love is just so awesome. I just want to pause and pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that through the word we get such a beautiful picture of all that you are, of your heart, of your compassion. And we thank you that you pour that out on us. And I just ask this morning that my words would be a blessing and encouragement to everyone here and everyone who hears them, that you would speak through me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Who's enjoying this reading plan? I'm finding it great. I love how it gives us such, you know, a great direction to really go. And it's about together. I love the unity. It is so true. It's so awesome. So those questions, have you been really asking yourself those? I'll admit, not every day do I look at the three questions at the bottom, but I was really thinking this week in preparing about what does it say about Jesus? And it's really, I guess, impacted me, because what jumped out at me was Jesus' heart. And so my message today is a heart like Jesus. I imagine most of us are like me and want more of a heart like Jesus, to respond with that level of compassion we just read about, to be at peace, to see the potential in others, not just what's happening around someone, to have eyes like Jesus that really see people, that notice people, that see suffering and hurting. For me, I have felt really personally challenged whilst reading the Gospels this year because I recognised my heart is not as healthy as it should be. When my heart's distant from God, then I'm not experiencing that abundant life Jesus wants. So I've found it's been good for me to stop and just become aware of how circumstances and struggles in life have caused a change in me, and it's been happening for a couple of years, a subtle change, all those little things over time, but it's affected my relationship with Jesus. So today, as we explore some passages, I just want to share a little of my journey and what's been really helping me to draw closer back to Jesus and to have that healthier heart. So I just really encourage you just to, as you're listening now, that you would just open your heart to Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. He's amazing, all-powerful, healing, love and compassion. Do you need a heart recondition? Because I do. Has your life felt a bit tough, a bit difficult? I've learnt that life is made up of so many different situations and circumstances, but a big part of that abundant life that Jesus really wants for us is actually what's inside. It's what is happening in us. It's what's in our heart. There's nothing more important than our inner life with Christ. Having Jesus on the inside, letting him into our heart. Our heart condition is actually really precious to God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it tells us, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. And that's actually how Jesus described his own heart in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. What a beautiful picture of Jesus' heart. That gentle, humble heart. I was reading a devotion just recently and some thoughts really resonated with me because of what I've been pondering about heart condition and how do we have that heart like Jesus. So I just want to read a little bit of it. What if for one day and one night Jesus lives your life with his heart? Just imagine your heart gets the day off. And your life is led by the heart of Christ. His priorities govern your action. His passions drive your decisions. His love directs your behaviour. What would you be like? Would people notice a change? How would you feel? What alterations would this transplant have on your stress level, your mood swings, your temper? Would you sleep better? Would you see sunsets differently? Imagine what this looks like and try and take a mental snapshot and hang on to that and allow that to encourage you, especially in this coming week. I know this is what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to experience the same peace and love and compassion. So why does it feel hard? I know these things in my head that if I open my heart It is totally possible to have that transformed heart like Jesus. So why do I find times that I hold back? And I think for me, it's often fear. But there's some really encouraging scripture. There's heaps of it in the Bible that tells us to fear not. So 1 John 4:15. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Now, I found that really encouraging. Jesus truly can change our hearts. He wants us to have a heart like his, that peaceful heart. Jesus was so at peace. When the storm was happening, the disciples were shouting and frightened, but Jesus wasn't. He was asleep. His heart was so totally at peace. His heart was also always connected to his heavenly Father. His thoughts reflected his intimate relationship with his Father. And we see that in John 14:10. Jesus has said, "Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me." I want to just share some amazing facts about our hearts. Do you know the human heart, the average human heart, weighs less than 450 grams? So it's pretty small. But what it can do is amazing. It beats 115,000 times a day or more, over 2.5 billion times in an average life. Our blood vessels, so that's the arteries, veins, capillaries, are over 100,000 kilometres long. That's like 2.5 times around the world. That heart, which is pretty small, can pump blood continually that distance. We are amazingly made. But what's really fascinating is that the heart contains a little brain in its own right. Yep. The human heart, in addition to all its other functions of pumping blood and everything, actually has a heart brain. It has 40,000 neurons that can sense, feel, learn, and remember. The heart brain sends messages to our head brain about how our body feels. And it was only in the 1990s that scientists really started exploring all that, understanding that it's not only that the brain sends information to the heart and issues commands and keeps everything pumping and working, but it's actually a two-way thing. In fact, the heart has this complex intrinsic nervous system, and they call it the heart brain, and it's an intricate network of lots of neurons and neurotransmitters and proteins and support cells, and they actually flow messages to our cranial brain. So the research is pretty amazing. It shows our heart communicates with our brain and can act independently. One important way that the heart can speak and influence our brain is when it's what's called coherent. And that means it's got this really healthy rhythm, a wave-like pattern, just a healthy rhythm. And it begins, when that happens, we get all these benefits. So some of them are like greater mental clarity, intuitive ability to understand others, and better decision-making. And do you know that one way to get that coherent pattern happening is laughter? They've found that laughter really stimulates because of how it causes us to, you know, when we laugh and we actually breathe in more air and that. So not just a little giggle, But, you know, those belly laughs, those full-on laughs that we have where your stomach hurts and you even get where tears happen in your eyes, that actually can really activate that rhythm and circulate the blood better around our body, and it just makes the whole heart function better. So, and they actually say laughing burns calories. So I think I need some more of that. And so some belly laughs. When's the last time you had that kind of belly laugh? I don't think we do it often enough. Even though I'm married to a pretty crazy, funny fellow, most of you know James, we do laugh a lot in our house. But I think we need a bit of a challenge, more of that belly laughing. I don't know what he just said to Brad. Excuse me. Although the heart and brain do have that constant communication with each other, we can actually intentionally direct our heart to communicate to our brain. So when we have positive emotions such as caring and compassion, it actually connects us to our brain. It gets that healthy heart rhythm. I think it's all pretty amazing. God's made us to work like that. Science and research, the 90s is not that long ago, are only just understanding what God's made and what it already explains in the Bible. I think that's why that verse that a lot of us know, Proverbs 4:23, tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, because it truly does. I started doing quite a lot of reading and learning about brain and heart health in the last 2 years because I had found myself really struggling. Last year, my doctor actually sent me to a cardiologist, and I had a heart stress test. And it was because my heart is fine, but because of stress and anxiety, it was actually mucking up my heart. So I had lots of rapid beating of my heart, breathlessness, numbness down my arm. And it just alerted to me, I guess, the detrimental effects of what stress does to us. And it reminded me of our Saviour. He wants to lighten our load. He wants to love us so much that we won't feel those heavy things. We won't feel those pressures. His care is so specific for each of us. And my prayer today is that you would experience that personally. It just requires us to open our heart to Him. It's an intentional action. So having that knowledge and understanding of that physical aspect of the heart has actually helped me to be extra aware and intentionally open my heart to Jesus. A little of my story. 22 years ago, I suffered from very bad postnatal depression. So I was actually suicidal. And over the next few years after that, I realised that it was like not even an intentional thing, but my heart started shutting down emotionally. I was kind of in this, I don't know, just flat state. And I am aware still now, I haven't experienced that level of depression since, and Jesus has healed me and He's continually working in my life. And it does require me to keep opening up to Him, but it is an intentional thing. About 2 years ago, I realised my heart was pretty shut down again. Maybe you've experienced that at some point too, where things start feeling a bit overwhelming. And it mightn't be one big thing. It might be lots of little things, and you can kind of realise it builds up a bit. I'm so thankful this year for our focus in church, where we're really looking at the Gospels together, because it's just really opened my heart up in such a fresh way. It's exactly what I need. To describe, I guess, what your heart can look like if it's starting to shut down, a bit of a picture is, for me, it was like I'd almost closed a door, but there was just a little crack. And it's like I was peeking cautiously, ready to shut if I needed to. But I'm realizing all the time, we don't need to be fearful like that. That we can be totally bold and confident to fling open that door to Jesus because he will protect us. He will protect our heart. He will just keep pouring out his love and power and strength and peace. What had scared me, I think in the last couple of years, was realizing getting back to that shutdown, because I'd vowed I would never let that happen again, and it seemed to sneak up on me. But Jesus is so patient. He's so caring. He encourages me in such specific ways, and I know and I believe he can do that for every one of you. Understanding more of his heart as we really look at the Gospels helps us do that. And it's not just a once-off thing when we open our heart. We do have to continually keep doing that. He won't push his way in. He's waiting for us to open up. Do you know one of the greatest yet often unrealized promises of God is if you've given your heart to Jesus, Jesus has given himself to you. If you've given your life to him, he has given himself to you. He's made your heart his home. That's pretty awesome. Paul really understood this. In Galatians 2:20, he describes it. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to encourage you, and as I finish up, just sharing three ways that I found that have helped me open up my heart. It's a journey, a process, so I'm not there. I just keep trying to intentionally do this. So the first is pray. Talk to Jesus. Invite him in. It's that personal conversation I have. I ask him that I want more of his heart and less of my messed up heart. So I just keep opening up my heart. All of my heart and not holding back. Not just that little peek, that little bit, but I need to fully open my heart. The second thing I find is I need to just receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 tells us, "For we know how dearly God loves us, because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." The Holy Spirit gives us that experience of God's love. So we need so much more than knowledge. We need a reality within. Do you know we can often be in the same space as others and have such a different experience because we've kind of shut off. We're not opened up. And there was one of our readings through this last week shows that. Mark 3:1-6. I just read that out. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." I love that. I love how Jesus didn't, you know, he knew what the man needed and he could have quietly did something. But come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. I find it hard to understand, how could they just see that, be in Jesus' presence, yet they had this other agenda in their head? Hard hearts cause Jesus to feel sad. They totally missed the point of that restoration, of that miraculous healing power. It just reminded me of the dangers of if our heart is hardened up, even a little bit. We can be in a space physically and totally miss out on the blessings of Jesus. I want to experience him fully. I want to have that open heart. So I ask that Holy Spirit to just really help me with everything. Help me to open my heart, fill me with his love. And the third thing is praise. To just really, I guess, step into that space of praise and thankfulness. When we do that, it actually is like a two-way flow, because we're allowing our praise to flow to God and his love flows back to us. And it's just this beautiful thing. So we can praise wherever we are, even while we're driving. If we don't always need music, it's just like talking to God, thanking him. But music's great too. So find your space of praise, what it looks like for you. That first story in Luke 7, 11 to 15, that's got a beautiful flow of compassion, isn't it? Jesus felt so moved by compassion that he took action. And I know for me, it's when I enter that space of praise and thankfulness that you do allow the compassion to flow and then action follows. We want to bless others and we just notice things more. John 5:19. Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Jesus needed that connection with his Father. We need it even more, don't we? If I just ask the musicians to come on stage, we're going to actually enjoy praising. Because praise unlocks something in us. It shifts something in our heart. So would you like to stand? We're going to pray and allow the music to start. My prayer for you is that you would encounter Jesus right now. That his spirit would just flow into your heart. And if you're here and what I've been speaking about, my story, my experience of that love of Jesus in my heart, if that's not you, you've never actually entered that space, all it requires is asking Jesus in, acknowledging him as your Saviour, acknowledging that we have sinned and fall short and distanced ourselves. But all we need to do is ask Jesus in. And I'd love to pray for you. If this is you, I'd love to pray for you after the service. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you are. And we thank you that your word is such a beautiful reminder of just how you move in such beautiful compassion. And you're still doing that today. Just like we read about those stories in the Gospels, you're still so much at work today in our worlds. So we just ask, as we just want to enter that space of praise, that we would open our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to fully let go. And if it helps you, the shift, sometimes a physical shift can help a heart shift. So if you'd like to, come forward and stand with us and praise at the front. Sometimes moving can just help us enter that space, enter that place where Jesus can minister to us. So let's praise.